الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فقال الله تبارك وتعالى في شان حبيب الكريم في القرآن المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما ابن رسال دروش شريف اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم صلاة وسلام عليك سيدي يا رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليك وسلم We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most glorified, the most supreme, the owner of the entire universe. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with the best of creation, Muhammad al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and for allowing us to be part of his ummah, the best ummah, which is the ummah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has sent the religion of Islam. The religion of Islam is the religion that Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam was upon. It is the religion that Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam was upon. It is the religion that Sayyidina Salih alayhi salam was upon. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam was upon this religion. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam was upon this religion. His children, Sayyidina Ismail and Sayyidina Ishaq alayhi salam, they were also upon this religion of Islam. Ad-Din al-Islam is the only real and true religion. There is no other religion which is accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except for Islam. And the main proponents of Islam, the Islam that we know as today, came in the Middle East 1400 years ago. And it started with the birth of Muhammad al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the son of Abdullah, who is the son of Abdul Muttalib. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born. And when he received revelation at the age of 40, he began to propagate the message of Islam, began to propagate the Quran. From that point onwards, from the point where the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to propagate the Quran, he propagated it to his Sahaba, his companions. The companions spread Islam across the peninsula, across the Arabian peninsula, and also into northern Africa and into the northern, into the southern European countries as well. And Islam spread like this. During the first few hundred years of Islam, meaning even after the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were many, many fitan. There were many, many tribulations. The first of these you can find in the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu an. When the first tribulations to affect this ummah, the first group to have spread from this ummah was the followers of Musaylimah al-Kadhab. Musaylimah al-Kadhab was the one who proclaimed prophethood. He said that I am a prophet, even though we know that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the final messenger. So this person, Musaylimah al-Kadhab, he said that I am a prophet. And so Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, at this time he was the first Khalifa of Islam, Amir al-Mu'mineen. He waged war against these individuals. And he finished this fitna. And after the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, in the time Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Uthman, Sayyidina Ali, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, Amir Muawiyah, radiallahu anhum ajma'een, during all of their times there were also many fitn to have affected the Muslim Ummah. There were likes of the Rawafid, those who would disparage the Sahaba and show an extreme love for the Ahlul Bayt. Then you had the Khawarij, those who showed a disparagement towards the Ahlul Bayt and had, you know, they had these new ideologies that came around. Then you spread forward more years and you have the likes of the Mu'tazila. The Mu'tazila had extreme views with regards to the Quran, with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They had very strange views. They believed that the Quran was not the speech of Allah. They believed that the Quran was just a book. This was a belief of the Mu'tazila. So as Islam spread across the world, more and more fitna began to affect the Muslim Ummah. Now in 1700s, 300 years ago, in the 1700s, there is a Scottish philosopher by the name of David Hume. And David Hume, he wrote a book called Dialogues with Regards to Natural Religion. David Hume wrote this book in the 1700s. When he wrote this book, in the Western world, they faced a new wave of atheism. Initially, the Western world, they all agreed upon Christianity. You had the Western, you had the Church of England, you had the Church in the Vatican City, you had the Protestants, you had the Orthodox Christians. Right, this was the main belief, the main religion of the European countries. But when David Hume wrote this book in 1700s, this book began to spread. And from this point onwards, atheism began to spread as well. A lot of Christians began to leave Christianity and accept atheism. They forgot about God. At this same time in the 1700s, in the Arabian Peninsula, you had a man, a Bedouin man who lived in the deserts. He wrote a book called Kitab al-Tawheed. And this man's name was Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. This book spread in the Muslim area. So in the Christian area, you had the book written by David Hume, which spread atheism. And in the Arabian Peninsula, in the Muslim lands, you had a man called Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, who wrote a book called Kitab al-Tawheed, and this spread sectarianism in the Muslim Ummah. Because the majority of the Muslims in the Arabian Peninsula, they all ascribe to one ideology. They ascribe to the ideology of the Sahaba, the beliefs of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they had the beliefs of all the Salafus Salihun. Then this man, all of a sudden, he wrote a book in the 1700s called Kitab al-Tawheed, and then he began to slaughter thousands of Muslims in the Arabian Peninsula. He began to slaughter thousands of Muslims. Not only did he destroy and kill thousands of Muslims, he destroyed libraries. He burnt books of thousands of generations. Okay, he destroyed the books of the ulama of the previous centuries. Not only did he do this, but he destroyed historical places of Islam, which of significance in the Arabian Peninsula. This happened in the 1700s from a man called Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. So this is what this current situation is 300 years ago. Then in the 1800s, you have a man, again in Britain, called Charles Darwin. Many of you know this name. Now he writes a book called The Origin of Species. The Origin of Species was written in the 1800s. And this again spread atheism even further. And take a note that the first six editions of this book went through many editions. The first five editions of this book did not once mention the word evolution. Only in the sixth edition, after he revised the book six times, then he wrote the word evolution in his book. And this brought the idea of the theory of evolution and how human beings came from cells. How we came from a singular cell being, and eventually after millions and millions of years we evolved. Obviously this goes against what we believe as Muslims, that we come from Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam and Sayyidina Hawa radiallahu anha. And from them, that's how humanity began. So this was in the 1800s where Charles Darwin began to spread the likes of atheism in the Western world. And he also, during this time period, there was a revolution to begin to separate church from state, meaning to make the state a more secular society and to remove the laws of God from a country. This was the movement that was taking place at that time. And now we come to the subcontinent, the Indian subcontinent. You had a man called Ismail Adelwi. Ismail Adelwi, in the 1800s, he traveled to the Middle East. And at this time in the Middle East, you had the Ottoman Khilafat, the Uthmani Khilafat, the Ottoman Empire. Their reign over the Middle East was coming to a slow. The movement created by Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, they began to fight against the Ottoman Empire. Thus, the cities of Makkah to Mukarramah, the city of Madinah to Munawwarah, and the Arabian Peninsula as a whole, the grip of the Ottoman Empire was coming loose. And when Ismail Adelwi, when he came to the Middle East, he studied the book of Kitab al-Tawheed. He studied the ideology of Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. Bear in mind, the name of this ideology in the Arabian Peninsula came commonly known as the Wahhabi ideology. A very destructive, a very sectarian ideology. So Ismail Adelwi, he learned this book and he came back to the subcontinent. And when he came back to the subcontinent in 1800s, he wrote a book called Taqwiyatul Iman. This was essentially Kitab al-Tawheed, but for the subcontinent. And he began to spread this book in the subcontinent like wildfire. So essentially whatever Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab spread in the Middle East, this was being spread in Kitab, this was being spread in Taqwiyatul Iman in the subcontinent. And one of the points that he writes in his book of Taqwiyatul Iman, he says that it is a possibility for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring another Nabi after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning he says it's possible for another Prophet to come after the final messenger. It's one of the points that he writes in his book of Taqwiyatul Iman. Now at this time, the man that stood up was Imam Fadhlul Haq Khairabadi, rahimahullah ta'ala. Imam Fadhlul Haq Khairabadi, he brought Ismail al-Dehlvi upon this point. And they had a debate in a Jami' Masjid, and Imam Fadhlul Haq Khairabadi silenced him. So the point being that, you know, Ismail al-Dehlvi said that there can be another prophet after Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Imam Fadhlul Haq Khairabadi, he refuted this point and he refuted many other points as well. And so those people that ascribe to the beliefs of Imam Fadhlul Haq Khairabadi, before this they were called Sunnis. After Imam Fadhlul Haq Khairabadi, they began to be known as Khairabadis. Okay, those who believed in the same theology of Imam Fadhlul Haq Khairabadi, they began to be known as Khairabadis. Okay, to ascribe themselves to the great Imam. Later on, the British Empire, because at this time there was colonialism taking place, and the British, what happened was, you know, many of you know the history where the Muslims in India revolted against the British Empire, and there was a lot of bloodshed taking place at this time. And Imam Fadhlul Haq Khairabadi took place in this battle, and he was captured by the British forces, and he was taken to the islands, and he was imprisoned there. And just a note about this great Imam, when he's imprisoned in these islands, he did not have access to any books. He did not have access to a library. Yet the books that he wrote in the prison in that time, we still study today. He wrote books on subjects of Arabic grammar, subjects such as logic and balagha. These books, you know, these are intense level studies. He wrote these books without having any references. And these books that he wrote are studied today. So Imam Fadhlul Haq Khairabadi eventually reached martyrdom and he passes away. But this ideology spread by the likes of Ismail al-Dehlvi and Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, they were on the rampage. They were being spread like wildfire across the Middle East and across the Indian subcontinent. And thousands of Muslims were being killed because of this extreme ideology. From this ideology of Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, you have the likes of ISIS today. From this ideology, the likes of Daesh, okay, you have the likes of all these terrorist organizations. This is where it comes from these extreme ideologies. There's a point to bear in mind that when you look at the way that Islam spread from the initial era, we spread to many countries through good akhlaq, through good character. When the likes of Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab came and Ismail al-Dehlvi came, they began to spread Islam fiercely and extremely by the sword only. And so many were forced to accept their extreme and construed version of Islam by the sword. And the Ottoman Empire, when we come to the late 1800s, it was near collapse. And you have the likes of Sultan Abdul Hamid al-Thani, rahimahullah ta'ala, who at this period, he did all in his power to defend Islam. Because imagine, he was the leader of the Khilafah, he was the leader of the Ottoman Empire. He had the likes of the West trying to attack the Ottoman Empire from this side. Then he had the likes of the extreme ideology from the Arabian Peninsula. Then he had the British colonialism in India, and many subcontinental Muslims actually sent him letters. They sent him many letters asking for assistance, asking for help. So he had the entire Islamic empire to look after. Even during this time period, the Rothschild family approached Sultan Abdul Hamid al-Thani, rahimahullah ta'ala, and they said that we will give you millions and millions of dollars and gold coins just to give us some land in Al-Quds Sharif, in the land of Palestine. Now Sultan Abdul Hamid al-Thani, remember, £1 million or $1 million then, nowadays could be possibly billions if not trillions. And Sultan Abdul Hamid al-Thani, rahimahullah ta'ala, if you look at the state of the Ottoman Empire in that time, financially they were doing very, very bad. The economical state was extremely bad. Okay, when Sultan Abdul Hamid came into power, the Ottoman Empire was already in millions of debt. So the Rothschild family told him that we will save your empire, we'll clear your debt, only for some land in the land of Palestine. Sultan Abdul Hamid al-Thani, rahimahullah ta'ala, said, I will never ever give you this land. Even if you take the blood out of me, I will never give you this land. And so he denied the offer of the Rothschild family. And after maybe 10, 20 years, the Ottoman Empire completely collapsed. And then you had the new spread of the new Turks, of Ataturk, and the spread of the secular ideology within the Ottoman Empire. And the Ottoman Empire was abolished. So you have all of this taking place in only the past 200 years in the Islamic Ummah, where the West is being the West are being taught the ideology of atheism, and the Eastern Muslim, the Muslim Empire is being, the Muslim Ummah is being taught sectarianism, and they're being taught violence. Now these two worlds, when they come together, we have in the Indian, in the Indian subcontinent, there's another man called Mirza Ghulam Ahmed Qadiani, again in the 1800s. And he reads the book of Ismail Adelwi, and the point that he writes, that there can be another prophet after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the man called Mirza Ghulam Ahmed Qadiani, initially he was a man who would refute the Christian preachers. He would refute the Christians, and many would accept Islam with him. But then when he read this point of Ismail Adelwi, he later on began to profess prophethood. And many people began to accept him as a prophet, and they acclaim Messiah, and they call him, you know, their prophet. And today his followers are known as Qadianis or Ahmadis. And the followers of Ismail Adelwi are known as Deobandis or Ahlul Hadith, and there are many other names that they ascribe themselves to. And the followers of Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab in the Arabian Peninsula, they are known as the Wahhabis. So all of these sectarian ideologies come, and they have destroyed the Muslim Ummah in the past 200 years. And Allah subhanahu and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that the head of every century will come a Mujaddid. And the role of a Mujaddid is to revive Islam back to his previous generation, back to the time of the Sahaba alayhi wa ridwan. And bear in mind that in a certain time period, there can be more than one Mujaddid. Okay, there can be more than one Mujaddid. And so, when all of these fitan were spreading in the Arabian Peninsula and in the Indian subcontinent, we were sent the likes of Shaykh al-Islam, Imam Ahmad Ridha Khan, alayhim rahmatul hannan. He was the Imam, and he was born in a place called Bareilly, Bareilly Sharif. Okay, it's in India, in the state of UP. And he began to refute every single one of these false ideologies. He began to refute the false ideology that there can be another prophet after Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He proclaimed that there can only be one Nabi, maybe one final prophet, and the final messenger is the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he began to refute all of the books of the elders of the Deoband. And thus he began to spread a movement in the Indian subcontinent which revived Islam back to what it was hundreds of years ago. Meaning, Al-Imam Ahmad Ridha Khan, some people today say that he spread sectarianism. Some people say that today he has brought something new into the religion, that he's a mubtadi'. The reality is, if you look at the situation that he was in, if you look at all of the fitna that was spreading in that time, what Imam Ahmad Ridha Khan did was, in fact, instead of spreading sectarianism, he brought Islam back to what it should have been hundreds of years ago. He brought the beliefs of the Sahaba alayhim ridwan back into the Indian subcontinent. And through this, he saved the lives and saved the iman of thousands, if not millions of Muslims. And so he is known as the Mujaddid of the subcontinent. Now let's move to the Middle East. In the Middle East, around the same time, you had the Mujaddid of his era, the Mujaddid of his time, Al-Imam Yusuf al-Nabahani, rahimahullah ta'ala. He was the great Imam, born in Palestine and then moved to Egypt. And he wrote thousands of works, which are being printed today, and he attacked and he refuted the false sectarian ideology of the Wahhabis. And he began to write against the individual known as Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, and he wrote how this person's ideology are incorrect. This is what Imam Yusuf al-Nabahani, rahimahullah ta'ala, did. And you also have the likes of Sheikh Badruddin al-Hassani, rahimahullah ta'ala, in Ash-Sham, in Syria. It is known about him that he was one of the great Mujaddids, And what he did during his time, he brought a whole revolution in the lands of Asham. The lands of Asham were being, they had a lot of fitna within their own lands. They had thievery, they had robbery, they had prostitution on the streets. They had a lot of haram activity taking place in the streets. So Sheikh Badruddin Hassani, rahimahullah ta'ala, is mentioned that he was going to khalwa. Khalwa would be when you're going to meditation, when you're going to isolation. And everybody of Asham knew that this was a great imam, a great sheikh. And what he would do when he would come back from his khalwa, he would knock on the door of the women. And he would give his students money, and he would tell his students to go to the doors of the women. And they would give the ladies women, and the student would say to the woman, that Sheikh Badruddin Hassani, rahimahullah ta'ala, he is asking for your du'as. He's saying, take this money for today, don't go into the streets, and make du'a for Sheikh Badruddin Hassani. Now every single lady that heard this, every single lady that was approached, instantly they all broke down into tears, and they did rujoo, they made tawbah, and they, for those that weren't Muslim, they accepted Islam at the hands of Sheikh Badruddin Hassani. So in the lands of Asham, Islam was revived again by the likes of Sheikh Badruddin Hassani. In the lands of Egypt and the Indus and the Middle East, the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah was revived by Imam Yusuf al-Nabahani, rahimahullah ta'ala. In the Indian subcontinent, it was revived by Al-Imam Ahmad Ridha Khan, alayhi rahmatul hannan. So these three mujaddideen of the previous centuries, we should know their names, know the reality of the history. Because nowadays people begin to rewrite history. People begin to say that this was not the real case. In fact, the seminary of Al-Nadwa, they began to write books of history, and they began to say that Imam Fadl al-Khairabadi, they began to disparage him. They began to disparage Al-Imam Ahmad Ridha Khan. Any of the ulama that stood up against the false ideologies, the group of Nadwa, when they wrote their books of history, they began to disparage all these great ulama. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to see and study the true history of Islam. May Allah allow us to know who the true warriors and the true saviors of Islam are. وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. InshaAllah, the bucket will be coming around from the donations. InshaAllah, so do donate towards the masjid. Secondly, the time for Asr Jamaat tomorrow will be at 6:45 p.m. Today is at 7 o'clock, tomorrow at 6:45. And also today after Salatul Asr will be our Reviving Light program, meaning the program for all brothers and sisters after Salatul Asr today, meaning after 7 p.m. today. Finally, there's two programs, one for the ladies every Tuesday, which is the weekly ladies' ijtima on Tuesdays, and they also have a monthly gathering tomorrow, which will be in English from 11 to 12:30 in the downstairs of the masjid. So do let your mothers and sisters know that there will be a gathering tomorrow for the ladies downstairs in the masjid from 11 o'clock to 12:30. Jazakumullahu khair.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاه حي على الصلاه حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي فضل سيدنا ومولانا محمد على العالمين جميعا وأقامه يوم القيامة للمذنبين متلوثين خطائين هالكين شفيعا فصلى الله تعالى وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى كل من هو محبوب ومرضي لدي صلاة تبقى وتدوم بدمام ملك الحي القيوم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فيا أيها المؤمنون رحمنا ورحمكم الله تعالى أوصيكم نفسي بالتقوى الله عز وجل في السر والإعلان عن النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم البر لا يبلى والذنب لا ينسى والديان لا يموت علم ما شئت كما تدين تدان فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فمن يعمل مثقال ذره خيرا يره ومن يعمل مثقال ذره شرا يره بارك الله لنا ولكم في القران العظيم ونفعنا واياكم بالايات وذكر حكيم انه تعالى ملك كريم جواد بر رؤوف رحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا مولانا محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين لا سيما على أول بالتصديق أمين المؤمنين أبي بكر الصديق رضي الله تعالى عنه وعلى عدد الأصحاب أمين المؤمنين أبي حفص عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه وعلى جامع القرآن أمين المؤمنين عثمان بن عفان رضي الله تعالى عنه وعلى أسد الله الغالب أمين المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله تعالى عنه وعلى ابن الكريمين الشهيدين أبي محمد حسن وأبي عبد الله الحسين رضي الله تعالى عنهما وعلى أمهما سيدة النساء البتول الزهراء رضي الله تعالى عنها وعلينا معهم يا أهل التقوى والمغفرة اللهم انصر من نصر دين سيدنا مولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ربنا يا مولانا واجعلنا منهم واخذل من خذل دين سيدنا مولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ربنا يا مولانا ولا تجعلنا منهم عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون ولذكر الله تعالى أعلى وأولى وأجل وأهم وأعظم وأكبر عباد الله يرحمكم الله
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Please ensure your sufuf are straight. Ensure your rows are shoulder to shoulder, that there are no gaps in your rows. If there's space at the back rows, then do fill those gaps in as well. For those in the alleyway, jazakumullah khair. Also do turn your mobile phones off or on silent. Jazakumullah khair. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين لقد جاءكم رسول من أنفسكم عزيز عليه ما عنتم عزيز عليه ما عنتم حريص عليكم بالمؤمنين رؤوف رحيم فإن تولوا فقل حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. اللهم آمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. صلاة وسلام عليك سيدي يا رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليك وسلم. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا حساب الميزان. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. اللهم تقبل منا ركوعنا وسجودنا وتعبنا كلها وصلاة هذه صلاة الجمعة مع جماعة المسلمين. اللهم إنا نسألك العافية وعلما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وعملا متقبلا وشفاء من كل داء. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم ارحمنا يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم ارزقنا يا خير الرازقين. اللهم انصرنا يا خير الناصرين. اللهم انصر وارحم أهل فلسطين. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وخطايانا كلها يا رب العالمين. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا وارحم موتانا وارحم موتانا. اللهم نور قلوبنا بالإسلام. اللهم نور قلوبنا بالإيمان. اللهم نور قلوبنا بالقرآن. اللهم نور قلوبنا بحب حبيبك الكريم صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم. يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم ببركة. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. صلاة وسلام عليك سيدي يا رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليك وسلم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.